something great, the whites, into a little interim bowl.
Into the Soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get Into the Soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup right here on KWSS 93.9. My rockin' radio redhead is at my side, Emily King.
Hello, hello.
Can you believe it's April?
I can't. March just went by too quickly.
I can't. Well, it's been like, I don't know. It's just time is flying faster. Did you have a nice Easter?
I did. And you know what? I think the other thing that made April so shocking was the fact that Easter was in March. Like, that's very strange.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. That usually doesn't happen.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Right around taxes are due, everyone.
I filed an extension.
Get panicky. Yeah. All right.
I actually sent one to my accountant, and I'm like, hey, you know, I need to file an extension, yada, yada, yada. And she thought I was asking her to do it. So then she sent me a note back, and she's like, I think we have a serious identity fraud problem here, and sends me this huge, long email about who I have to contact because they said somebody had already done it, and I think that, you know, is this your Social Security number? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, Diane, I'm so sorry. I actually already filed it. And she goes, okay, well, thank you for the heart attack.
Like, wow. I'll be billing you for that.
I know. I felt really bad. But no, I have an extension, so I don't make any money anyway, so it doesn't matter. I shouldn't have to pay anything. How about you?
Yeah, I got mine done just in the nick of time. Except, okay, so.
Okay, so.
Blonde moment. So
you're
when
not
I went
blonde.
To, I'm a little bit blonde.
You are. Yeah, you're like, strawberry blonde. Okay,
little,
I'll go with that. I'm drinking. Ha, ha, ha.
I was born blonde.
Who isn't? Oh, wait, no. Asian people aren't born blonde. Sorry, Christina.
That would be amazing. I want to see that.
It would be albino.
Okay, so I actually entered the wrong bank account number because you don't look at your bank account number all the time. And so I took my checkbook and I typed in the fours, which are actually just spaces.
Okay.
On the account number. So for my direct deposit, for my refund. And freaked out for about 15 minutes about that and like had to navigate the IRS phone automated system.
Fun.
Yeah, super fun. It's a dead end anyway you go. It's like a
automated
cul-de-sacs. So anyway, I finally got somebody on the phone and they're like, oh yeah, it happens all the time. If you have the wrong account number in there, then it just gets sent directly to you, like in the form of a check as opposed to going directly into your account. So I'm like, again, very similar to your accountant. I was like, well, thanks for saving me the heart. Like, I was freaking out about that. Anywho.
Oh, the government and taxes.
Yeah.
So so Easter, did you have, my Easter was kind of, I really actually had something very special planned for Sammy. I was going to do like a big scavenger hunt and all this kind of stuff. And I ended up again, like the second time in this season with this nasty virus.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just like, ugh. And I'm like, oh babe, I'm so sorry. You know, she walks in, she spent some time with her dad and she was just so bummed. And I'm like, okay, well, I actually need to go to the store because I don't have coffee and I don't have creamer and all this kind of thing. And so I went and got her, you know, just something like a bunny and some chocolates and a Barnes & Noble card so she can, you know, fill her life with books, which she consistently does, which I love. And so we had that. And then you and Jeremy stopped by for a little while.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time. Just
that was fun. Had a glass of wine.
Yep.
Sammy flicked on, you know, Sound of Music, which is kind of a family tradition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I noticed that when I went in. I was like, this is kind of an odd
season. Well, you know what else used to show up all the time at this? And Christina might remember this. You might not because you're young. One of the movies that consistently showed up on television at Easter time was The Wizard of Oz. You could only watch it. I mean, they didn't have VHS. They didn't have any of those things. And so, you know, that was when, you know, the Technicolor thing came in and they started in black and white. And then it said, don't adjust your TV when it went to color because no one was used to it. Because that was like, what, 19, gosh, I don't even want to guess, 56, something like that. I'm not sure. But I love that movie.
It does.
The Wizard of Oz.
It actually does strike me as an Easter movie, so that's fun. But I like The Sound of Music, and then I had that song stuck in my head.
Which one? Because there's a lot of them that come with The Sound of Music.
Which one was it on? The one where they bend their knees a lot.
The one where...
I successfully got it out of my head, so...
Well, congratulations. I appreciate that, that you actually got that. It's hard to... So anyway, she did have a nice little Easter. My parents used to hide those big, huge, king-size chocolate bars around the, you know, the farm, and they'd put money in them. And even into when we were, you know, graduated from high school and into college, and 2 years in a row, I mean, they'd put the big one out there with $50 in it, and I won it twice. And my brothers are all thinking, okay, this is totally right.
Like, does she train throughout the rest of the year
to find the Easter chocolate bar? Before we jump into the soup, I kind of wanted to get into something that I think is kind of a, I don't know, it's a personal issue, but I wanted to share it with our audience because it's kind of embarrassing, but I think if I can reach out and raise some awareness of this common problem, then maybe people will kind of, I don't know, it's weird, feel more comfortable dealing with it. So it started about like a year ago, and I'm like, oh my God. No way, when I first noticed it. And so naturally, I Googled it, and I thought I could, you know, self-medicate in order to, well, eradicate, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I did all these home remedies, and I made paste and sprays and everything I could think of, and nothing worked. And I'm just like, I'm throwing up my hands thinking, I really need to seek the help of a professional. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know where to turn because I felt kind of bad. And so I looked it up, and I was like, I don't want to go to a stranger. So I Facebooked it because, you know, that's not going to a stranger. And I said, hey, can anybody recommend something? And a friend of mine reached out to me in private message and said, hey, totally understand where you're at, and this is the person that you can call. Mm-hmm. And so after about 3 weeks and $6,000, I have 2 brand new bathrooms, and I no longer have a mold issue.
That's fantastic.
I know, right? I know. What were you thinking?
Exactly. That's
just
exactly
like mold, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, yeah. Because it's extremely embarrassing. You're thinking it's a hygiene issue.
Yeah.
Am I not scrubbing enough? Do I need scrubbing bubbles? Do I need to get some Zep? Do I need to go Home Depot or, you know, get online and buy something that has Australian guy marketing it for me? I really wasn't sure.
I'm really glad that you got it taken care of.
You know, I am too. It hurt my wallet in a very large way. Aside from that, I wanted to, and it was really fun because people have asked me this, and it's kind of calmed up often recently. What do you love most about your job? And it's meeting people. And this didn't have anything to do with my job, but I met Gil and I met Austin, and they came in and they were the coolest freaking people.
They did a great job.
They did
too.
A beautiful job. And as soon as it's all done, I'm still waiting for some glass enclosure, but Sammy's bathroom is done and it's absolutely stunning. And so if you want to find me on Into the Soup at Facebook, you can PM me and I'll give you their contact information. They were phenomenal. And we actually sat out a couple of afternoons after they were finished and had a beer.
Oh, wow.
And just talked about, you know, I grew up in construction with my family. And so we talked about, you know, everything lingo that has to do with construction and the amazing clients that they've had, the people that they've serviced. And they really did a fantastic job. He's young. He's 23.
Oh, wow.
And he's a dedicated guy. And so... I was really pleased with it.
Is
so.
Single?
Huh?
Single?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. We went to Home Decor together, and some of the people were looking at him going, hey, dude, isn't she a little old for you? It's like, no, he's a little young for me. Anyway, we are back with my very good friend, Christina Barruetta, and we are ensconced in her lovely home, which is awesome because it's only 10 minutes from my house. She and her husband, Ernesto, made us a big, huge freaking thing
beautiful.
Full of margaritas
and tacos.
We have tacos. We're going to talk about her recent award, and we're so very proud of her. And then we're actually going to fly off into the land of the history of food critics and talk about what that means in the old days and what it means today. And we're very excited to do it. And so we're going to take a quick break. I'm Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. We'll be right back.
Attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee. I'm here with my rocking radio redhead, Emily King.
I just took a great big bite of this taco.
Oh, aren't they yummy?
So yummy.
Christina gave us tacos.
Tacos are my favorite food.
And are they really?
And Christina's now my favorite person.
I know. So. She's mine, too. I called her the other day, and I'm like, okay, I've been sicker than... Can we come up and do a show at your house? And by the way, congratulations on winning that big award. And can we come up and do a show at your house? Because I don't have one. She's like, yeah, sure. I have to go to a chocolate thing, but I'll be home by 7. So here we are.
Well, I view it as an excuse to hang out with you guys.
Is that what you do?
Yes. Like, oh, good. I get to see them.
She's like, Heidi's going to be in my house. It's like, yes, and I'm going to eat all their tacos and drink your margaritas, which is going to be our weekly wet.
Okay.
And did you bring these all together, or did Ernesto do that?
And that's why the tacos came, because first the margarita was thought of, and then we decided.
You know, I just heard this really interesting accent with you. Do you have kind of like a Boston Filipino thing?
She's
because it's
so
kind of like margarita. Because Filipino has a little Spanish influence in it, and then you've got the Boston thing going, so it's kind of interesting.
People say that my accent comes out if I'm tired or I'm hanging
like
around
that,
with
like
my
tired.
Girlfriend.
I love it. This is the first time I've heard it come through.
I know. Yeah, me too.
I'm like, this is adorable.
I'm going to have more margaritas.
Oh, please. I asked Sammy
me with some more.
I asked Sammy, I'm like, hey, babe, you know, can I ask you a favor? And she's like looking at me like, what? Rolling her eyes. And I said, will you drive me up to Christina's? And she just looks at me and she's like, no. And I'm like, okay. All right, well, I'm going to drive up, and then I might have Emily just drive me home, and then I'll Uber up to get my car tomorrow, which works for me. And before we go further, I have to say this really quickly because I'm so very proud. I don't do this a whole lot, but my daughter Samantha has achieved a full ride to Arizona State University.
Woo-hoo.
Barrett's Honor College.
Amazing.
And she just received word of her final scholarship from Barrett this afternoon. And so we are very, very proud of her.
I'm so proud.
I know. It's just like, oh my gosh.
Just a few more short months, she's going to be taking off her shirt at parties and getting drunk and stoned.
I thought she was going to say embarking on a new...
No.
Part of her life.
Christina, that's not colleges. Can we just all be honest?
Thank God she's so much more like her father.
Than like us.
I know, right? Mm. Well, we can all, you know, cross our fingers and hope and dream. She's a dedicated kid, though, so, you know, I'm crossing my fingers. But, you know, I've been there, done that, so if anybody needs counseling in a shoulder, it's like, Mom, can you come and get me? And it's like, no. I'm already drinking. Can you call Emily?
You'll call me.
Just call Emily. If I'm not here, my phone's automatically going to ring back
closer.
Through to you.
Yeah, you just forward it after like 8 p.m.
Yeah, it'll work. Either you and Jeremy can come and get her because it's like, you know, Sammy's leaving and I'm like, woohoo! Party time for Mommy. Okay, so anyway, you are here on KWSS 93.9 and you're Into the Soup with Heidi Lee. And we have Christina Barrueta. And we wanted to say...
Hooray.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
She also got the Barrett Scholarship.
Yes, she did. And she won in the 25th Annual Culinary Hall of Fame. You were Food Writer of the Year.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's exciting and, you know, kind of, what just happened?
Why? Because you've been doing it for so long. Why do you think it's surprising?
I mean, there's so many other, you know, gifted writers, and I think maybe I'm just a little obsessed with food, and maybe that's what...
Oh, so you're crazy?
I'm crazy.
You think that people that write about food every day, all day long, aren't crazy?
That's true.
Yeah, we absolutely are. You were in very good company. Joni Simon.
Yes, who I love. Very good friend.
And I've just met her recently, and I can't wait to speak with her some more. And then Lauren from Phoenix New Times.
Yes, another talented writer.
And Diana Redd.
Yes, she does AZFoodie.
Okay, all right. And so anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
Like you were, you know, at the Academy Awards, did you have to thank your mom and dad? Did you have a speech ready?
It's funny. I didn't want to do a speech because then it would be like I was planning on winning. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know that. I mean, it's been going on for 75 years with the Academy Awards, so.
But it's funny because they don't announce your name. First, they describe the winner.
Mm-hmm. You know, they describe the winner?
Yeah, this person has done this, this, and this, and then they announce the winner. So they said... This person can be seen all over the valley. with Instagram pictures of food and drink or something similar. And I went, oh, I think that's me.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting way to do it. So they basically have you on the edge of your seat.
Right, right. I mean, okay. Some of the people, you know, you knew, like when they said he's been in the Valley 18 years, I knew it was Mel Messina.
Right, so, I know. Kind of lovely but, Mel.
Yeah, it was great. You know, my big point is, and what I said there is, since I've been writing, it's always been to support our culinary and beverage scene.
Right.
So I really just hope I keep doing them justice, is basically what.
Cool. And that's what we do, too. Support the culinary arts so dining doesn't
that's
go the way of Walmart.
That's why we have a lot in common.
Yes, we do. We do. And you don't do this for money?
No.
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 It's not a money thing.
I don't make... My website makes no money.
Right.
I get jobs
yet
as a writer,
right.
You know,
okay.
for paid articles through the website, which is... I actually hadn't realized, but I've gotten more jobs since I started the website than in the years that I've been writing, which is funny. Because the only thing that changed is I made a website.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Em? Because you might know a little bit more about social media. I mean, why would the incubation of a website change the fact that she now is generating revenue?
Well, I mean, it's just the presence. And honestly, I think, and I can say, after I started following you on Facebook, you're so unique in the way that you do things, in the way that it's like, it's so personal. You can tell that you're great friends with everybody in the Valley and that your heart is really in it.
I feel very fortunate
and I think
where I am in the Valley with everybody. They're just amazing. I mean, I think Phoenix
I think it's
amazing.
Because you know what you're talking about.
I think
about,
it, and I think it's because you know what you're talking about and you're relatable because there are other things that you post. You post things that you cook, projects that you're doing, things
your mom.
Like that.
And my mom cooking.
Which yeah. That's
hi, mom.
Fabulous. And then
you
bring gardening into it. So you're touching a lot of people in a lot of different ways and
actually and maybe because then you feel like you know me more
exactly
and you have a
as an individual
and you have a repository of information rather than you know an Instagram picture or a Facebook
and a spew
album.
And you know a couple of adjectives that are throwing out wow beautiful vibrant gorgeous colorful tasty
which I'm hungry I'm thirsty
I'm always hungry
this Negroni was really good.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to bring that up specifically. I was literally thinking about that as soon as I... What's in a Negroni? What?
It's a simple
this
drink.
This is your favorite drink,
it
right?
It is my favorite drink.
I don't like these, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, my husband, he just thinks it's terrible. But it's the main ingredient is Campari, which is a bitter. Mm-hmm. It's in that category. So it has a little, you know, to some people tastes like medicine. I love it because it's kind of that savory quality in a cocktail. And then it's very easy. It's just equal amounts of gin, sweet vermouth, and Campari. Though I like mine a little heavy on the gin.
Well, you like
are you shocked?
Margarita's a little heavy on
it's
the tequila,
funny.
Too.
That sounds exactly like something I would like. I love gin. Gin martini all the way.
Yeah, me too. I had
Bombay Sapphire.
I had some really nice ones at Durant's last night.
Oh, Durant's.
With AZ Distilling Company Commerce Gin. Because
they're
a big local favorite of mine.
Okay. Is it good gin? I haven't
had
it.
It's great gin. Yeah, they've won awards for their... They have a whiskey, they have gin, they have vodka.
Nice.
Oh, maybe I'm getting Commerce vodka mixed up with the gin. I forget. But anyways, definitely worth searching out.
I like the fact that they still have award ceremonies where there is clearly a winner. Where there isn't just like, everybody wins, everybody gets a trophy.
Here's a certificate.
So, yeah, here's a certificate for all of you. Yeah. So let's go just really quickly through the people that won this because it is a distinction and we love it and we love to shout out our people. So Christopher Gross got the Lifetime Achievement Award.
One of my favorite chefs in the Valley.
I love him and I wonder
fantastic.
I'm wondering if it makes him feel old or just seasoned because we know Chris is seasoned. He's not necessarily old, but you know, God love the guy. He's played with me a couple of times and he's a super dude. And then our buddy Mel Messina.
Yep, I mean, there's not many nicer or more passionate chefs in the Valley.
I know, did I tell you, remember I texted you that I had a dream that he was the evil chef?
Can you imagine?
I know, right? It's like,
of all
okay,
people,
this
Mel's
beautiful,
evil.
Jolly exterior. It's like his eyes got really big and he had like fangy teeth and stuff in my dream.
Wow.
Like, wow, that's weird. Because he's not like that. Sorry, Mel, I love
no,
you.
Not at all.
The most hospitable chef I've ever met.
Oh, he's so gracious. He's lovely. He's super. Sasha Levine.
Yes, who's super talented. I've been a fan of hers. Yeah, she's worked at F&B at Rancho Pino. So she
I love Rancho Pino. Oh, my gosh.
It's a place I wish we would get more often. Mm-hmm. We've only been maybe three, I don't even, 2-3 times, but it's on the I Wish I Could Get There More Often list.
Julian Wright?
Yes.
Emily, do you remember meeting him all those years ago on Mill Avenue at La Boca with John Orman?
Was I sober?
Yeah, you were, because you were driving me.
Okay.
Yeah, you were
so
there.
And we went
across the street to the cantina, the tequila cantina.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Remember?
I remember
2010.
This. Yeah.
Holy crap.
It was back in the day.
Woo! He was a lot of fun. We have chairs.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Ross Simon. Yep. From Bitter and Twisted.
Another mixologist. Fantastic guy.
I just friended both he and Bob Tam.
Yes.
And I'm like, hello. I will get on my knees and beg, will you please come on my show?
Oh, they're
so
wonderful.
I sent him a note.
Bob is great. Can I come when they come?
Of course you can. Yeah, let's go on from there. Preston, is it Thony?
I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but he's
sure.
From Wren Brewing Company.
Okay, so he got Brewer of the Year. Mm-hmm. John McLaughlin. Winemaker of the Year from Cellar 433?
Yes.
Okay. And then finally, Short Leash Hot Dogs.
Yes. And you know, they've done so much for the community, too.
Oh, they are so awesome.
Yeah, but Brad and Kat.
I think it's Brad and Kat, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I actually had them. They were on the show in 2011 at Phoenix Public Market when they were just getting started.
I did
and
an
so,
interview
did
on
you?
Him for Where Travel. You know, the guest book that's in the resorts?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was the first time I actually got to talk to him and I loved him.
And now they've got a brick and mortar, and don't they have like something rollout donut or something that's
yeah.
going on with that too?
Yeah, wow. And I've had that donut or one of their donuts. It's
okay,
delicious.
That's very cool. Yep.
You know what's funny?
What?
In culinary school.
What time in culinary school?
So you have to do this capstone project, and mine was for a hot dog restaurant.
So they stole
so really
your idea?
I feel like they did. I feel like they really did.
Seriously, yeah. Emily?
And then the school bought my project, too. And so, yeah, pretty sure they did.
So you're totally
you
ripped off?
The Arizona Culinary Hall of Fame.
See, that's why you don't share intellectual property
Never
with
ever.
Anyone in
no,
a large
I,
room.
They're like, do you want a $50 Visa gift card for your project? I'm like, sure.
Yeah, why not? It's more than Heidi pays
me. I'm like 21 years old. Definitely.
So anyway, back to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And where do you want to go from here? Do you have aspirations? I mean, was this ever something that you, you know, really seriously, back to that same word, aspired to? Or did you just,
well,
I mean,
you know,
do
it's
it for
funny,
the love?
When I was younger, I had won little competitions writing, but it was not food, it was fiction.
Uh-huh.
Like, I remember writing a book that was like the next saga of Narnia, because at that time I was a big Narnia fan.
I love mm-hmm. Narnia.
But as I got older, I went more into the medical editing field.
I think that's hilarious.
Isn't it funny? I was, you know, a technician that does the Bruce protocol stress tests.
Okay.
And everything like that. I was going to get into echocardiography. So I love that. But everybody used to say, if you had a dream job, what would it be? And I always said a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of fell here where I moved here. And within a month of moving, Ronnie and Josh offered me a job writing for the magazine. And
Moffitt.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So they really are the ones who put me in the path and because of that, really sunk me into the culinary scene.
Okay.
And she's the one who told me to get on Twitter and social media, and I met a ton of people through that, so.
And you have, you really actually have a very vast culinary knowledge.
Well, you know, I'm a nerd. You know, that's why I'm a member of the Phoenix Food Nerd Board, too.
Okay, right.
Because it's...
There's a Phoenix Food Nerd
yes,
Board?
And
okay,
it's
please
great.
Don't ask me to join that, because...
I thought you were the president.
I'm enough of a dork already. I don't need to add another accolade to that.
But it's
anyway.
Really, you know, getting into the nitty-gritty of food. You know, not going to a place because it's popular, but seeking out, you know, this mom and pop or this place that looks a little dingy, you know, where you found that...
El Chavo?
Yes.
We'll have to talk about that.
But, so I've always loved to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, seek things out. I used to be on a board called Chow Hound in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And the motto was, you live to eat, not eat to live. So it was neat because that's how we were all that like-minded and search out jewels and gems. And then I love to cook, too. So it's a little of everything. I love to eat. I love to read about it. I like to cook, you know.
I think that, and I think what's neat is, having gotten to know you better, because we've been acquainted for a few years, but we've become friends in the last 6 months, actually, and finding this symbiotic relationship, because... That's not something that I have time for, to dive into the nitty-gritty, be a food nerd. So my perusal is really from rather an esoteric level, but from a perception of, let's talk about what's important, not necessarily about what's in the food and what is there, but let's talk about the basics of what we're actually doing here. And so I'm kind of going off the cuff here, and I don't really know where I'm going. Anybody can help me out if they want to. So relying on people like you and other food bloggers and, you know, reading and researching on my own and understanding what's happening in from an industry perspective, rather than just from a, wow, that's really tasty and that's good, it's more from a, how can we help promote and exactly. make sure that everybody stays? Does that make any sense?
That's exactly,
I've had two
that's
margaritas,
exactly
so.
My intent. You know, my intent isn't, oh, look at me, I ate this. But, oh, that, you know, that, because sometimes
blinded. I get, it's like, take the picture so you get the big drip all the way down my face.
But, you know, you have these amazing chefs and you don't hear about them, or you do hear about them, but they are working so hard. And, you know, like I went, Jeremy McMillan back in December, I went with Bill and Lil, our good friends. And
right.
He offered to do a tasting menu, and he made us this stuffed guinea hen with whiskey and sorghum glaze and a foie gras fried rice.
Wow. Right.
And it's like, you know, so I'm happy to put that out there. And look at, this is the kind of stuff we have happening.
I feel like you observe the person and the genius within the person. And then, like, Into the Soup's mission is, why is it, it's important for us to recognize these people.
Yeah.
But it's even more important that we don't let that talent go to waste.
Right, or have them leave because nobody's getting their
food.
Right,
and understand, I mean, and actually, I don't know if this is contradictive or not, but, yeah, I love all the food, and it's great, and I might not really understand what a sorghum paste has and what its basis is and its technique and yada, yada, yada. My journey is to actually find out who this individual is and what makes him tick and why he or she is actually here. And that's, I mean, because it's such a passionate thing. And I do it myself. I mean,
well, that's what you do on your show.
So I don't really give, you know, I mean, I love the fact that you make fantastic food and, you know, there's all these really neato ingredients in it. But what I want to understand is what makes you tick and why you are freaking here and why we should come. I mean, are you passionate about it or, you know, do you want us to be here and why? And so I think that's, you know, if we can all work together in this little community that we have here in Arizona, nationally and internationally, to understand what makes these people do what they do and inspire other young cooks and other young chefs to go out and, you know, seek that lifestyle.
And that's a great point. I did an interview, another favorite chef, I have a lot of favorite chefs, is Chef Ryan Swanson at Kai.
Yeah, I haven't met him yet. Will you introduce me to him?
Oh, please.
He
needs to be
so
on the show. He's hilarious. But
we love hilarious.
He made the point that it's not just good for the consumer when you have this caliber of culinary arts, but it's good for all the other chefs because then they realize they don't have to be safe or they don't have to cater to this. I can, you know, I have a little more confidence now because this chef, they're getting him, so maybe let me try this, you know, the style of food or philosophy of I've always wanted to do. So it just, you know, it steamrolls into something that's better and better every year.
Right, and it inspires, and that's what you should do. If you're working in an industry of passion, and I mean, it could even be, you know, even if you're an engineer or an accountant, if you inspire somebody and mentor them to go to great lengths to be better than they are, yay. So let's give them that platform, which is wonderful about what they do at the Culinary Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and these people are being recognized for their passion for the culinary scene.
Right.
You know, not just their skills, but how much do they give back to the community?
And that includes you.
You know, I said that. I'm like, oh, does
no,
that sound like
no,
a threat?
It doesn't. Absolutely not. It does include you. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're just, I mean, if you look around and every time you put a post up there, I mean, you're just so well loved. I mean, everybody, you know.
Oh,
they're
lucky. There's so many nice, supportive people.
Well, of
in
course
the world.
There are. You know, and there's a competitive factor to it. Don't deny that. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Some, it's funny, some people have not been as nice since I started my site.
Tough luck. You know what? And if you live your life with integrity and you do it for the reasons that you say that you do, I'm not out there for fame and glory. I could give a crap. It's just like I like being on the radio and I like hearing this and talking
to people. I love the sound
of
my own voice.
I do, you know, especially when I have a cold because I've got that gravelly,
that little smoky, sultry
kind of a thing. You know, take me to the speakeasy, baby. And then I cough like I have the plague, and it's like, wow, did that just turn you on? But I feel like I can promote. And so that's where my gift is. I don't make any money at this either. You know, this is my give back. And if I can have fun doing that and play with Emily and give her some, I don't know, do I give you anything?
You give me moral support.
Okay, great.
You give me a big smile on my face.
All right. And a check every once in a while when I can afford
it. You send me some fun drunk texts.
And we do name tests on Facebook, which are no longer fun anymore because everyone I take says her.
I saw that post.
Did you see the recent trivia? Or what was it? Like your life, your destiny?
Yeah, I did. And I took it. And you had an 87% health record and lived to 85. I had 67% and lived till 98. I'm like, what? I don't know.
I saw the one where it said you were going to have 3 kids. And
marry at 22. Yeah, no. I've got one. I got married at 30. That didn't work. And I'm 98? Probably not.
Yeah, especially driving a Skoda.
What the hell?
I literally had to look it up.
Skoda is like the lesser cousin of a Tesla.
What is a Skoda?
I'm not even sure.
So it's a Czech car. I had to look it up because people were like commenting.
Like Czechoslovakia?
Yeah.
Czechoslovakia makes a car?
I guess. They make
Isn't
a Skoda.
Isn't that the name of the doctor on Law & Order, Dr. Skoda? Yeah, it totally is. Okay.
I learned so much on this show.
I know, right? All right, we're going to take a break. We are with Christina Barrioretta of Ride on Ruby. We're in her lovely home. We're having tacos and margaritas. We're going to come back with the soup of the week. This is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. Woohoo!
My favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Red is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Well, yeller's sweller for this little feller.
And me, I'm keen on green.
So what's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like
what's
this.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite?
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives and the Ad Council.
Hey there, this is Heidi Lee. Welcome back. You are into the soup right here on KWSS 93.9. Our soup of the week is brought to you by Grey Tie Events. You want a new unique dining experience? Grey Tie Events, culinary entertainment exclusively for women, prepared by men. Yeah, go ahead and chew on that one for a minute.
Grey Tie.
Grey Tie. Grey Tie Events provides a unique dining experience for you and your friends. Invite your besties over, gather around the island, and prepare to be pampered. Their team of chefs were handpicked and had to try out.
Yes, they did.
They bring the party to you and tailor the menu to your tastes. Their goal is for every client to leave a Grey Tie Event feeling perfectly pampered and utterly adored. Visit greytieevents.com or call 602-738-2665.
Great. No Velcro, boom boxes, or illicit touching was a part of this responsibility.
I haven't worked that out exactly the way I wanted to go. It needs to be a lot longer and a lot faster. You were at a Grey Tie Event audition, and yeah. Yes, that's my company, sorry.
And it was so much fun. I feel like you should audition every month, even if you don't need any more shows.
You know, I was thinking about doing that and charging everybody like $50. So that's how we did it. So I actually put my first time I put an ad out there, I put it on Craigslist and it said attractive male chefs needed. And I'm just like, well, let's see what we get. And I caught.
Did you get some interesting pictures?
Oh, full recline.
Oh, yeah.
It was really.
Oh, yeah. With like a menu. And a menu. Yeah, and a menu. I'm just like, wow, that's your menu.
Strategically placed menu.
Oh, you'd be surprised. And, you know, a couple of threats, like, you're discriminatory, and it's like, really, and Hooters isn't? Come on, please.
This is a Christian nation. What's wrong with you?
I can't believe you would do that. You're a whore.
No, please.
And I mean, I got the most amazing talent. Mm-hmm. And these guys came. You were in the first round of tryouts.
Yep. Christina. And I mean, to this day, it was Mark Haber, right?
Mark Haber, yeah. He's, Luke.
Yeah, he was super impressive.
Yep. Rick and Rick Morales is amazing. And then now we just added Corey Winger.
Yeah,
he joined us.
I saw you mention that.
He joined us at a Grey Tie event on Wednesday, which was fantastic, at Trillium. So we actually accommodate any kind of party, and actually 90% of our stuff is co-ed. But if you wanted to have a special event for your girlfriends, whether it's a bachelorette party or a birthday or whatever, we tailor the menu to you. And from 6 to 12 people, basing upon the logistics of the kitchen.
I was going to ask you, do you tend to have larger groups or smaller groups?
If we do a signature Grey Tie event, you really actually want that intimacy. So you'll, whatever you can fit around your island or in your kitchen. And the guys come in, and it's very, very respectful and chivalrous. They pull your chair up for you. They, pour your wine. They do the dishes with a smile. No, they don't rub your feet.
And they're really entertaining.
They're very entertaining.
You can tell
yeah.
they're enjoying it, but they still teach at the same time.
Yeah, they do. They
still
entertain,
give cooking tips.
Yeah, entertain, educate, and engage. And it's just, my financial advisor last April, so about a year ago, she gave me one. And I'm like, wow, okay, well, this will be interesting. And so John, sous chef John, and Rick
was
our
chef. Tell John I said hello. He's
hilarious. Oh, I will. Isn't he a doll? Yeah. I sat there and was like, wow, I didn't realize how much fun this is. Mm-hmm. And they really
was
are
that
a blast.
The first time you were on the other side of it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was outstanding. I loved it. It was fantastic. So anyway, Grey Tie events.
My birthday's July 30th, by the
hint,
way.
Hint, hint.
Oh, okay. You probably deserve a bonus of some sort. We're going to need to find a kitchen with a bigger island. Maybe we can borrow a friend's. Okay, so our soup of the week is direct from the kitchen of Right on Ruby and Christina Barrueta. And what are we going to see up on our website?
It's a tortilla soup, but whereas most have a chicken stock base, mm-hmm. this is a little thicker. It has a puree of cilantro and tomatoes and garlic, so It's different, but it's super flavorful, and it freezes well, which is why you
and
can have
it. And it freezes
them.
Well.
Perfect.
But you
I
can make
that.
A big batch. Guests love it, and all you have to do is the garnish.
Awesome. I do that with Sammy a lot. I make, a big batch of soup or stew, and then I put it in little individual containers, stick it in the freezer, and then boom, lunch.
Right.
It works. Okay, so that will be on Ready to Sing.
IntoTheSoup.com.
We've got it down.
Getting better at that.
Okay. Okay, we are going to dive into the world of food critics. So I did some research, and I did it rather hastily, and you probably know a lot more about this than I do, simply because you know a lot more about this than I do. But there's this cloak and dagger kind of clandestine image about a food critic. Mm-hmm. So if you think of Anton Ego from Ratatouille, or the food critic from Mystic Pizza, and anybody else that does this, that has done this for a living in the past, is, except for now, who are no longer cloak and dagger, there was kind of this snobbish, kind of jerky whole kind of a thing.
Thank
and
you
that
for
no longer
yourself.
Exists. I know. Thank
well,
you.
I
so
think
you didn't have to edit.
Some came from a good spot, like, oh, I don't want special treatment, and that's okay. But there were others who did it like, oh, I'm better.
Right.
Because I don't, that I never agreed with. It's okay if that's a personal decision, but don't think that you're a better person.
Right.
Than somebody who is well known.
And I'm trying to think of his name. Hang on, because I actually have it in my notes. His name is Robert Sitsima, and he wrote an article called Everyone Eats, But That Doesn't Make You a Restaurant Critic.
Right.
And he actually highlights Craig Claiborne, right?
New York Times.
And Craig Claiborne was born in Sunflower, Mississippi, in the 1920s, and grew up in his mother's boarding house. He spent a couple of stints in the Navy, and then he went to Ecolitia in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it was. And ended up starting as a receptionist for Gourmet magazine in New York.
I knew he worked for Gourmet, but I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he started as a receptionist. And he was actually the inventor, if you will, of today's food and dining critic.
That 4-star rating scale.
Yes, and he came up with that, and he also came up with this this tenet of you are anonymous, you pay for your check, and you go more than once. And I thought that was really fascinating, because if you think about 1920, so you're looking at almost 100 years. Well, no, see, he started in the 50s. So 75 years of evolution of being a dining critic and how it's changed today. And we were talking when we met with Dominic Armato about how it's very difficult to stay, you know, behind that veil.
Especially
and not
in this modern day and age. I mean, again, if that's okay if you want to stay hidden, but don't think that nobody knows what you look like.
Right.
You know, a simple Google will pull up, I mean, 99% of the people's picture, and it could be 100%.
So do you think it's, like, really name possible to stay,
yes.
you know, okay,
yeah.
to think, stay veiled?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and especially in our climate, you know, it's just impossible. You know, people, you're going to have people who tag you and you don't even notice, or, you know, you're at a friend's house or...
Right. And so, I mean, it's funny because I was looking at this Craig Claiborne, excuse me, and he looks like Sir John Gielgud from, you know, the butler from Arthur. And that's seriously what he looks like. And I would have loved to have heard him speak, you know, and just to hear this man from Mississippi who was living in New York City writing editorials for the New York Times for all these amazing restaurants.
And then what he did, too, which was so different than anybody else, is back then, fine dining or ethnic dining was
yes.
French. So he really delved into Mexican and Spanish.
And Chinese.
And Chinese and Asian. And he really made that accessible in his writing.
Yeah. And I actually heard a story or read a story that he was in 1974, wrote a piece on a restaurant in Saigon.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And so they were questioning themselves, going, what year? Well, apparently, I mean, I don't recall, and I'm sorry that I'm not as educated as I should be, but the final helicopter flew out of Saigon in 1975. Mm. So he was actually in Saigon in 74. Mm. That's pretty brave.
Yep.
You know, if not the clandestine and cloak and dagger, I mean, certainly.
Right.
But it actually has changed. And something else I'm going to, like, tangential off here for just a second. There's a word out there that I have great disdain for, and I don't know why. Foodie. It's just not a word I dig. And I thought that it had happened and come up in the last 10 years or so. It actually originated in the 1980s in New York with Gail Green, who was the first predecessor to Craig Claiborne. And that's when foodie actually came around, you know, leave it to New York. Mm-hmm. And so, and there was actually a foodie that, like,
and I think it was a different connotation.
I think it was too.
Which is, I mean, if you use the word foodie, it doesn't bother me. I don't, like, you'll never hear me say I'm
that you're a foodie.
No. Because I think the connotation now is you know, somebody who's a little pretentious and
kind of
I'm a foodie.
Right.
Right.
I know, you know.
Which really means you just have a pretty big Yelp account.
Well, they say.
And like Dominic, you know, he started the Phoenix Food Nerd Board. Not a foodie board. He did Phoenix Food Nerds because he felt like that fits who we are.
Better. A food nerd. Yeah, I prefer that. They actually said that it's not as elitist as gourmet, but more discriminating than a glutton. It's like, that's a big...
I'm a little bit of a glutton.
You've got one of the seven deadly sins and then a really good cook. Do we need to take a break?
Yeah.
Okay. Emily, yeah, we do. Okay, so we're going to come up and wrap up with Christina Barruetta, and we're going to talk a little bit more about food criticism and some events that are going around town. And thank you so much, my friend. This is fantastic.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back with our weekly wet. This is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup.
It's Timothy Green's first day at school.
Mom, I can handle it from here.
What's in his backpack? He's about to fall
anything
over.
Anything he might need. There's a box of tissues and band-aids. There's a whole first aid kit, actually.
You don't have to be perfect.
Have a great day.
That's too much pressure.
Have the day you have.
To be a perfect parent.
There are two people who want you more than anything. They'll make mistakes, but they will love you more than you can imagine.
There are thousands of children in foster care who will take you just as you are. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
She knows she's got everything.
Hey, this is Heidi Lee. Welcome back. You are Into the Soup here on KWSS 93.9. I sometimes pinch myself and wonder how the hell I ended up here on a radio station saying something like that. Never in my wildest dreams did I actually think that I would be on the radio. It's so much fun. It happened. It fell into my lap, and I'm so much more than grateful. So anyway, that just came out of my, you know, little happy mouth. So we are going to do our weekly Wet Your Whistle, and this is going to come from Christina Barrueta's wonderful husband, Ernesto. And you call him E, right?
Well, when I post it, because I'm too lazy to type his name. Seriously, that's the only reason I do it.
And they're really good. What's in them?
Well, his secret ingredient is a banana, I would say puree, but that doesn't
really
cut
it either.
It's like
a baby poop puree?
It's from a company that does a lot of fruit essences. They do blackberry.
Oh, so it like comes out of a squeeze box?
It's in a jar.
Oh, cool.
Or a bottle. You know, once you open, you have to refrigerate it. But yeah, it's called Looza, Looza, and it does a lot. They have a lot of flavorful. But that's his little secret ingredient because you can't really tell what it is.
It gives it a different viscosity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to, like, you know, do the ice, crushed ice
thing. And it's really good with lime and tequila. Mm-hmm.
And, well, tequila's great. Mm-hmm. And she keeps topping off my tequila, which is fantastic.
That's why we get along so well.
I want to know.
I know.
Well, just to delve into your personal
life. I love ladies
life,
that drink.
How did you... Yeah, don't mind me.
Okay, go ahead, Em. I'm going to have a cocktail.
But I just think Ernesto's not around here right now, but like, how did you two get together?
We met in a restaurant.
Okay.
Or a bar.
I like how this is beginning.
It's a place in Boston called Abe and Louise. It's kind of like a Capital Grill.
Okay.
That kind of place. And I'd go there with my girlfriends to hang out with my girlfriends.
So was it a happy hour joint? Because Capital Grill kind of is that over in Scottsdale.
Well, believe it or not, Boston does not have happy hours. It's illegal to have happy hours.
Why?
It's part of that Puritan rules. Isn't that funny? Yeah, so there is no...
Because there are so many Puritans drunk come out of Boston.
Yeah, you can do food. You can do food specials, but you cannot do drink specials in Boston.
Right.
Unless that's changed since I left.
Crossing that off the list.
I'm not going to Boston anytime soon.
So it was just a place we would go. The bartenders would look out for us girls and make sure... ding-dongs to come over and talk to us.
Okay.
But they would say every now and then, this guy's okay. And one of them was Ernesto. Like, he was allowed. And he was always, you know him, he's so polite, he's a gentleman.
Oh, yeah, he's very much a gentleman.
He'd pay our tab all the time.
He drives you everywhere.
Like yes, I do.
Personal chauffeur.
Well, he said at the awards, he should have been, you know, food writer, and it should have been best driver.
Yeah. Did he really?
Yeah.
That's great. That's
new category next year.
Best driver. Awesome. I love it. Okay, so where are we going to go? Oh, I know. We're going to go into food porn. Okay, so... and you can find the recipe for the margarita on intothesoup.com.
Oops.
Oops.
Oh
golly. Intothesoup.com. Yay. Oh, there's a couple of events coming up. So there's... Actually, this is on... I'm sorry if I'm not remembering because my last page of my notes didn't print out... April 29th, it's a fundraiser for Joy Bus Diner.
I'm a big fan of Joy Bus and what they do.
She's so cool. Jennifer, she was on our show last week. She's so rad.
She's super rad.
We found her a 6-burner with 2 convection ovens.
Oh, it worked out?
Yeah, we did.
Fantastic.
Woohoo! She just has to go up to Flagstaff to get it. But they're at Pino's Palette down off Tatum. And so they're doing a fundraiser on April 29th. And that will be on the site at intothesoup.com. Thanks, Emily.
Come on, guys.
She was drinking.
I'm drinking That's every okay. time you guys say that.
And so tickets are $45, and so they're doing a fundraiser for Joy Bus. And then also on April 20th, there's a fundraiser for NEWH. And one of the students from Arizona Culinary Institute, Antonio Padilla, will be competing for a $1,500 scholarship. And he will be mentored by his... mentors and employers at Four Seasons True North, Chef Dell and Chef Mel.
Wow, that's great. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of fun. So they reached out to us at Arizona Culinary Institute, and so we hooked up Antonio with it, and he's very excited, and he's works in the kitchen with Mel. And so he's going to help him out, and he's got a very, very interesting appetizer that he's going to put for us. So we're
intriguing.
Really excited for him. I know. We love it. But tickets are available there. And so, you know, all of these things and everything is available on the site. So let's go to food porn because this is kind of fun. I love that. So after Gail Green, Mimi Sheraton came in and succeeded Claiborne in as the Times critic in 1975, and she edited and published a book called The Seducer's Cookbook. So she was the first voice that put us right at the table with her. So it, rather than being this, you know, kind of pedantic, you know, hey, this is what I did and where I did it and how I did it, it's like, you are with me here at the table. This is what I'm eating. This is what it feels like. This is the texture. This is the this. This is the food porn, right? Kind of like how I write. And it was intended to stimulate the salivary glands through its primary focus on the appearance and flavor of food. And so now I think that's gone kind of the way of almost the caveman language of LMAO and LOL and Instagram and Pinterest, where you don't even use words, you just use images. So how do you think that's affected, Christina, the way that we, you know, showcase food rather than in writing, we do it in visual?
Well, I think people expect a picture now. It's almost, if you write about something and don't have a picture, you almost feel like I'm going to skim over it because you're so used to that. And it's also important, I know one chef that said, he's a great chef and he's very, very recognized here, but he said, I almost wish I could go onto Yelp and delete some of those pictures.
Oh, yeah, because
he said
terrible.
He'd rather have no pictures than have this picture like, that is horrible.
What, did you bring a Polaroid camera in here? Like, some of them are so bad.
You know, and they make some vibrant dish look like, you know, pea soup.
Great light, man. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it goes both ways. I personally am a big image person. I like that. And Instagram, really, that's... I mean, at least for me, that's what I use it for. I don't put a lot of personal pictures on that. I do.
Well, I think that, you know, and I've seen that you go out there and a lot of others, too. Like, Joni teaches classes how to take pictures with your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a
and
I'm
actually
not a take a picture
of my
food.
She has two more coming up. They're already sold out, and she has a wait list, so she's
isn't
a great
she doing that?
I would love
leggers?
To go to one.
Yep, she's going to, I think she's setting up other ones because they've done so well.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. I need to sign up.
She's going to do classes on using the camera and then other classes using the phone.
And you took some classes using your phone too, right? Because your pictures are really nice.
Oh,
I mean,
thank you. See,
I
I'm always like, I see Joni's pictures and I'm like, eh, mine stink. But I took a cocktail one at Arizona Cocktail Week.
Yeah.
And that was kind of neat because they have you put a grid. Each phone has a... has an option, you can put a grid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then you can put where you want that image. And then
they
also gave us a clip-on lens that has a fisheye and a macro. So you clip it onto your phone and you can take...
Oh, well, that's kind
of neat. Neither of those tips I've been using.
I was going to say, thank God for you, because that's a lot of freaking work and I'd never do it. it's just not my thing to stop and pull out my phone and take pictures of my food.
Well, you know, it's time-consuming.
Of course it is.
And it's not like, ooh, but I want to do, again, that whole thing. I want to do justice. If I'm invited to a media event, I don't want to be one of those people who I went and I took one picture and thanks for my free meal, but I didn't do anything back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
So.
There's a time to eat and there's a time to take photos.
No, I think so, too. There's a time. I actually saw a schematic the other day.
That's why you go multiple times, just like the critics.
Well, okay. Thank you so much. Okay, so you're kind of
well,
like segueing me into
that. Well, I think that's fair
because,
you know, every restaurant can have a bad night. You know, they're only human.
Or a morning or a day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, when we were talking with Dominic, he said the same thing. I go back, you know, over and over again. So if you think about, you know, the fact that you would have, you know, back in the 50s and someone went to review a restaurant, it would take at least a week for that review to get out. That's not going to turn around overnight, you know, in New York Times, which is what published weekly, you know, so you have now everything is Insta, you know, it's done automatically. And so the restaurants have, you know, responded to that by offering up media previews.
Right.
Okay. And so my thing is, okay, you get a media preview and that's great, but they're previewing for the media. They're not previewing for the public.
Right.
So is it an actual honest review? And I have 5 minutes, so help me kind of figure this out.
It is not an authentic as if you went in, but to me...
Well, of course not.
I personally, and I understand both sides of that. There are some people who don't do media things, and that's fine. That doesn't bother me. But I don't view them as the same. I view that's a media event. It's to, you know, and why I go to them, they're doing the same thing which I feel I'm doing. They're promoting. It's their client. Mm-hmm. They're promoting that chef. You know, some media events, I'm like so tired, but I want to go because that chef just came here and he's probably excited about getting his menu. And I feel like going to the media event is supporting that chef or supporting a PR company that I think works hard at what they do. But like I said, if people don't agree, that doesn't bother me. I totally understand that
right.
point.
Okay.
I personally do both. My husband says I eat all his money because we dine out a lot on our we spend a lot of money on our own dime. So,
right.
you know, if somebody says to me, well, I don't trust your palate because you do the media things, well, that's okay. It doesn't bother me because I think I spend way more money than you.
Well, yeah. Well, and you know, on the other side, too, I think it comes with credibility and respect, you know, and you've certainly built that. I mean, you've been here for 7 or 8 years.
And, you know, and I'm fortunate because I've never approached anybody for a free meal. I've never called up a PR person and said, I'm coming in, could you give me a top meal?
No, we've never done it either. It's been given to us simply because we say, okay, you're going to be on the show, and they'll be like, hey, sit down, let's talk about my food, you know, and have a meal so that we can discuss what they do. And that's a fair trade. You know, that's mm-hmm. a fair trade for the publicity and all that kind of stuff. And I've actually had people say, hey, Heidi, you know, a long time ago, they're like, why don't you go out and be a food critic? And I'm like, no way in hell. There is no way I would ever do that.
And that's like me. I don't view myself as a critic.
You know,
when I started writing for Ronnie and Josh, we would call it a review. Mm-hmm. But then we realized I'm not reviewing. I'm spotlighting.
Yeah.
You know, I was
lucky. It's an entirely different thing.
She let me pick the restaurants, which is kind of unheard of for a magazine. Usually you have to do your advertisers.
Right.
So I would pick the restaurant I liked that I've gone to at least twice. And she would go with me for a third visit, and hopefully it was just as good as it was. And usually, I wouldn't pick a restaurant I wasn't sure of anyways.
Well, you know, I had actually, you know, dined at places and who had, you know, come on the show and we'd done reviews of, and it wasn't great. And so I had to find, and that's what made it my mind for me, I had to find a way to spin it. And I'm just like, I don't want to spin anything. Mm-hmm. I really mm-hmm. just don't. You know,
right.
I'd rather
plus,
have...
Plus, it's not fun.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. I'd rather have this synergistic thing that we have going here between myself as this kind of media and you being a different kind of media and the Jonies and the Terrans and the,
right.
you know,
and that's
what
another
world thing
I really love. All these different websites, you know, like you said, Taryn with Phoenix Bites is great at, like, covering events, and she has contributors, and they cover a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Joni, who does a whole different thing. She does a lot of recipes and focuses. And then you have, you know, Diana does a lot more, like, engagement with groups. So everybody brings a different spin, but they're all doing the same thing, supporting our culinary scene. So how can that ever be a bad thing?
I don't think it is.
No,
I don't think it is.
It's a great thing.
And I think that, and do I need to go here pretty soon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in wrapping up, congratulations again.
Thank you.
That's very cool. And thanks for hosting us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, can we
thanks,
do this,
Emmy.
You know, like pajama parties?
Oh,
yeah, we're going to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Do you have, I mean, I can't sleep with Emily because she snores. And she tries to spoon, and it's bad because she's taller than me, and it makes me feel weird.
Just like to cuddle.
So I want to go with one little thing here. And this is a, Richard Schickel wrote, criticism and its humble cousin reviewing is not a democratic activity. It is or should be an elite enterprise, ideally undertaken by individuals who bring something to the party beyond their hasty, instinctive opinions. It is work that requires disciplined taste, historical and theoretical knowledge, and a fairly deep sense of the author's entire body of work, among
Amen.
Other qualities.
That's one of the reasons I've never joined Yelp,
yep.
because there's too and many. I mean, there are some wonderful people.
That's why I threw that out there. And I think this is very important. It's like, have integrity.
You need the knowledge.
Please know what you're doing. Yeah. If you're going to, you know, opine on something and you expect to be respected and have any sort of credibility, please have at least an inkling of what you're talking about, which is why I rely on you because I don't know anything. I just like people.
I've read horrible articles where they complained about the temperature of the braised dish.
Oh.
You know, or...
It's like, yeah, but it's
or
only...
Or insisted...
it only has to be 135, so we're all good.
You know, insisted this particular dish was done bad or it's a cop... You know, stuff that
and
makes no
hurt
sense.
People's reputations
Thank
and it hurt
you.
People's
It hurts
businesses.
People's livelihoods.
Yep.
And it hurts their feelings.
It does. Gosh darn it.
Gosh darn it.
We're just here to support the culinary arts. And it was lovely to see you again.
Thank you
and
for having me.
And we will see you again, I'm soon, very sure. Next week, we will have Tracy Dempsey.
Who I love, another
Tracy
favorite
Tracy Dempsey
chef.
Original. She's going to be so much fun. I spoke with her this morning, and she's really excited. That'll be fantastic. And so, everybody, Emily, thank you very much, my dear.
Oh, my pleasure, as
it's always.
It's always
a hoot, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to finish this margarita. And this is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup, KWSS 93.9. Take care of each other. Take care of yourself. Peace out.